wanted.
All right. Before we open up the book to Revelation, or you can go ahead, Revelation chapter 6, I have a praise report. And I hope I'm not usurping the authority of my family, but we're so proud of both of our grandchildren, but we're proud of Morgan too, because she made the honor band with the Thomas County Middle School. But the, if I can pronounce this right, the Thomasville Symphony Orchestra has asked her to practice with them. Am I right, Amy? Okay. Okay. Well. Oh, I can go then, huh? Okay. Well, that ain't much of an honor then. But no, she was invited, right? Put a new CD in there. Let's start over. Okay. But I'm proud of her anyway. Yeah. Okay. And then I'm proud of Morgan, too. And the preacher's not supposed to get up and brag on his family, but... Oh, in that case, close your Bibles. And Revelation chapter 6. We're in a unit entitled The Great Tribulation. And we come to a part tonight in Revelation 6, 1 through 17, which we call the Wrath of the Lamb. What you have is an overview of the seven sealed judgments that are going to be the first judgments that are in the tribulation period after the rapture of the church. And let me set the scene for you, get the picture here. The church has been raptured. We're raptured back in chapter 4. 4 and 5, you see the church worshiping in heaven, chapter 4 and 5. Rewarded around the throne, because 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says we're not appointed for the wrath or the day of the Lord. We believe strongly in the pre-tribulation rapture. If you note the outline of the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 19, the things that, turn back there with me just a moment, Revelation chapter 1, write the things which thou hast seen. That's the vision of the glorified Christ, chapter 1. We covered that. The things which are, that's the church age, chapter 2 and 3. And then the things which shall be hereafter, from chapter 4 through 22. So we're beginning the things hereafter in Revelation chapter 6. Jesus is about to take the seven seal scroll and open the seals that start the tribulation. They are the title deed to the earth. He's the inheritance of everything. And this seven seal scroll, as you open up one seal, the second seal, it's written on the front and the back. It's complete, it's final. And it is God's judgments to purify the earth for the millennial kingdom and to punish Christ's rejectors and to punish the nation of Israel. And the seven seal judgments are found in chapter 6, okay? And if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, the seven trumpet judgments are found in chapters 8 and 9, and the seven bowl judgments is found in chapter 16. But Christ opens the scroll and judgment falls. The judgment's not going to fall right away after the church is taken out. There's going to be probably a period of some days before the Antichrist, the false Antichrist, the Christ signs a 7-year peace pact with the nation of Israel. And according to Daniel, when he signs that, in Daniel's 70th week, that begins the tribulation period. So there's going to be a period of some days before, between the rapture and the time that this first seal is opened. And we have the beginning of God's wrath and judgment on sinful man as the Lord takes back creation from the usurper, Satan. Now, he's the god of this world, little g. Man lost dominion in the Garden of Eden. So Satan is the little g, god of this world. But Christ is going to come back and reign again as the last Adam. And he's going to reverse the curse, if you will. And everything's going to be as he intended. Now, let's read tonight verses 1 through 4 of chapter 6. We're going to look at the two first seals, the first seal and the second seal. And I want to make some more observations before we get into the first seal. Notice chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, this is Christ, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. So you have a white horse and a red horse. And the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So we see the first two seals here tonight is what we're going to look at. Now let me say some more observations about these seven seal judgments. They are sequential divine judgments which span the entire tribulation period. The other judgments flow out of the seventh seal. You have the first seven seal judgments, and out of the seventh seal comes the seven trumpet judgments, and out of the seventh trumpet judgment will come the seventh bowl judgment. Now, other names for this period are given: the day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble, the Daniel's 70th week, and the tribulation period. But these first four seals that we're going to begin to look at tonight happened during, I believe, and a lot of other people believe, happened during the first part of the tribulation period, 3.5 years. And the mid part of the tribulation period is the time of the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple that the Antichrist has allowed Israel to rebuild. And that's not God's temple. That's the one the Antichrist has allowed them to build. And he's going to set himself up there with the abomination of desolation and offer himself up as the Christ. And anyway, the four seals here come during the first part of the tribulation. The fifth, sixth, and seventh seal judgment are called the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, these seven seals parallel our Lord's teaching in what chapter and what gospel? Anybody want to tell me? Matthew chapter 24. I got two students over there that have been studying the book of Revelation. Matthew 24, remember, they parallel the seven seal judgments. And they increase in intensity and frequency as you not only go through this age, but also during the tribulation period, these judgments are going to increase in intensity and frequency. So the Lord calls them birth pains, right? Just like birth pains increase in intensity and frequency. Now, we men don't have birth pains, but there is a certain case of men when their wives go into labor, they also have pains. Now, I don't remember because I was passed out on the stretcher, you know, so I don't remember that. So, Keaton, we older men are not as strong. Well, I shouldn't use you as an example. You're not even married yet. But, Jason, us older men are not as strong as you younger men. Y'all go through the thing, right? But, right? You was in there, wasn't you? He wasn't in there when... Okay, he don't even remember being in there. Boy, it really affected him, didn't it? But us younger men, us older men, we just go to the father's room and wait till the doctor come out and it's over, right? Those were real men back then, you know. These increase in frequency and hardness, if you will. So as we progress through these seven seal judgments, we're going to see that these judgments are going to get worse and worse. Now, there are some people called what's called amillennialists. They believe we're already in the millennium. We've already passed through the 7 years of tribulation, and we're in the millennium, and Satan is bound. Now, we know right away Satan's not bound, right? I mean, come on. Look at the paper. Look at the news. And they're what's called amillennialists. They're mainly the Reformed Church and the Presbyterian Church. They believed that the church is the new Israel, and that's not, I don't know where they get it from. But it was given to him, unlike Christ, to earn his sword. Or these four seals are what Jesus describes as the beginning of birth pains in Matthew 24, verse 8. And again, it's interesting here that because what is written on the scroll is not read, you don't see here anywhere where Christ reads what's on the scroll, but it's acted out, you know. Now, let's look at the first seal. First seal, some call it the rider on the white horse, and although it is, the first seal is false peace. Chapter 6, after the church is taken out, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to promise Israel protection because all the nations of the world will be against them, and even America. And he's going to promise them protection. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown. Notice there's no mention here of an arrow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, we see, first of all, here in verse 2a, that we see a white horse and a rider. Now, these four horses, two today and two next week, are often referred to as the horsemen, four horsemen of the apocalypse, okay? And Billy Graham wrote a book one time about the four horsemen, and he says, "I can hear their hoofbeats and getting so close." But each of these four seals involves horses and riders. Now, they are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Horses speak of triumph. They speak of majesty and power and conquest. And some say that the rider on this white horse is Christ, but it's not. He is the rider on Revelation 19:11 at his second coming. This rider here is not Christ. It's the Antichrist. Now let me share with you, I like to be analytical, but let me share with you why this rider is not Jesus, as some think him to be. Christ can't be the rider and the one who opens the seal. Number two, it's said here that this rider wears a Stephanos crown. Christ wears a diadem crown, a royal crown, in chapter 19, verse 12, at his second coming. This rider carries a bow. Christ, in Revelation 19, when he comes again at his actual second coming, has a sword. Revelation 19, verse 15. And this rider comes at the beginning of the tribulation. Christ comes at the end of the tribulation, Matthew 24:17 and Revelation 19:11. So you get the picture here then. This is not Christ. This is somebody else. It's none other than the Antichrist, who's going to try to assume the vacuum in the world of power, a loss of power, because you can imagine what this world is going to be like after the church is raptured, right? Somebody was joking with me the other day and says, "Have you appointed anybody in the church to preach for you after the rapture?" And I thought, well, I hope we're all gone, and I hope there's nobody to preach to, right? But this is not Christ. This rider here is none other than the Antichrist. Now, this rider comes at the beginning of the tribulation. Christ comes at the end of the tribulation. Okay, right? The rapture of the church, any moment. He comes in the air. He doesn't. Come to the earth, but at his actual second coming, 7 years later, we come with him, and he comes to what? Mount of Olives, and he begins to march and gives Israel a defeat. I mean, Israel a victory, as all the armies of the Antichrist in the world are gathered there in the plain of Megiddo to destroy Israel, and you believe it or not, to destroy Christ. And he comes and has victory, and he sets up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years before the eternal state of the believer. Now, the popular view is the rider is the Antichrist. Why? Because there are many messiahs culminating up to the Antichrist. In Matthew 24, 3 through 5, there's going to be, as you get into this, there's going to be false messiahs coming. And he says, somebody will say, "Look, there's Christ," and don't pay him no attention, but it's not time yet for him to come. Number two, he will make a false peace pact with Israel and later break it. In Daniel chapter 9, 25 through 27, he's going to promise them safety and security. And they're going to fall for it. Why? Because they're still looking for the Messiah. We know he's came, right? And they're still looking for him, so they're going to be deceived and thinking that this man that comes on the scene is going to be the Christ, but he's the Antichrist, counterfeit Christ, against Christ. And you have world leaders today that are prototypes, that are shadows of the man who is to come. You know, you hear him refer to our last president like that. You know, he's so powerful, he's gonna raise the seas or lower the seas, or he's gonna do this, he's gonna do that, and great orators, and they're gonna be a great military genius, which I don't think he was. Anybody gives Iran all them billions of dollars, it can't be a military genius, and all this kind of stuff, and all these are prototypes leading up to the Antichrist. Judas was an Antichrist. Mussolini was an Antichrist. Saddam Hussein was an Antichrist. Hitler was an Antichrist, right? But they're not the Antichrist that's leading up to the Antichrist. And you can hear some ridiculous theories today if you talk to people about who the Antichrist is. But the context of what's happening in the world, it's not ready for the Antichrist to come on the scene. He won't be revealed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, until the church is taken out of the way, right? So there will be a brief period of world peace, but it is a deceptive peace. All the peace talk about Israel and the Arabs and the Muslim countries, that there'll be no peace till Jesus comes, right? Camp David, the Accord, you know, I mean, no, it's not going to happen till Jesus comes. But notice something else here about this rider on this horse. Not only is he on a white horse coming and speaking of triumphs and conquering, but we see he has a bow with no arrows. Look in verse 2. And he that had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the first 3.5 years, he's going to conquer by peace treaties. There's no bow. He's conquering and conquering. It's not so much through military might at that time, but he's going to deceive many. And God will allow deceptions to bring about his end time events, but he's going to go forth without war and conquer. And it looks like he's about to take over the world, and then Christ comes and snatches it away from him. He has a winner's crown, not a king's crown. This crown was given to him by the world, right? The world honors their own, right? And they honor this man. Give him all kind of awards. But you notice here all the talk today about globalism. That's one thing, one world government. That's what it's looking for. One world government, one world church. I don't know if you've heard or not, but the Vatican, the Catholic system, has signed an accord or an agreement with the Muslim countries. And I firmly believe, this is what I believe, and I'll go ahead and tell you that the Catholic system in the Muslim countries are going to be the harlot that's left behind after the rapture. But they've already assigned that accord. I researched it, and it's true. And there are a lot of Christians today that call themselves Christian, a lot of churches that say Muslims can be saved without being converted. You know, they're going to heaven just like we are. Or Allah is the same God we worship. You know, the church is being deceived today. And it's not really the true church, it's the false church. And you can go to heaven by other ways other than faith in Christ. And I always, wherever I pray, especially if there's lost people present, I always close that the only way to heaven is through faith in Christ. Amen? And that's the only way. And so this Christ crown is given to him by the Father. This crown is, and that's a sovereign crown, the real king, the real Christ. But the world will give their king, a crown. Now he conquers by deception and lies, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-11. I'm telling you today, upon the authority of God's word, if you're not a believer, you're going to get left behind at the rapture. And then God's going to send you a strong delusion. You're going to believe the lie. The only chance you have is you had never heard the gospel. And then you have a chance, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So the best thing to do, if God's speaking to your heart today, to respond. Because if you don't, There's going to be multitudes saved in the tribulation period, but it's not going to be those that have been hardened to the gospel, hearing it every week and things like that. So he promises peace and prosperity and change. Where did we hear that, right? Change is coming. And he's right. We had a little bit of change when it was all over after 8 years, right? And he promises peace. You know why they hate Donald Trump so much? Number one, his alliance with Israel is spiritual war. Number two, because he's doing, I'm not saying he's Jesus, okay? Don't misunderstand me. But the reason why the religious leaders hated Christ because he upset their apple cart and he was taking their power away from them. And that's why they hate Trump so much, because he's not one of them, right? And he's not playing the game. And so they hate him so much. And also because he's trying to do all he can do to maintain Christian liberty for us as Christians. And Satan doesn't like that, so they hate him. And we need to pray for our president every day. I don't care who you are. You may not like him, but I'm telling you, you need to pray for your president, because there's multitudes that would be willing and able at any time to take his life. Are you all right, Brother Frank?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think I spoke a curse on you there. I didn't know. Okay. But so Revelation 13 tells us, and it tells us when he's going to rise to power. Now let's notice the second seal. And that's war in verses 3 and 4. Let's read that. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." Now, where have y'all heard that in a Christmas play, a Christmas carol, right? Y'all have heard that in the Christmas carol? Where the ghost appears to him and says, "Come and see," right? So they're copying the Bible, right? And he says, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that there should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the... Oh, that's the third seal. But it's a red horse, which speaks of war. It speaks of bloodshed here. This rider is on a red horse. And again, red is the color of blood, and it depicts fire, and it depicts war. And the peace and prosperity that the false Messiah promised for the first 3.5 years will be shattered by worldwide wars. Remember Matthew 24? Wars and rumors of wars, right? And you see it paralleled right here. And then in the latter part of verse 4, this writer takes peace from the earth. This is when he violates his 7-year false peace pact with Israel. 3.5 years in the tribulation, he'll set himself up as Christ in the rebuilt temple. And everything takes place is under the sovereign control of God, right? It is God who's sending these judgments. And the judgments are the wrath of God, not the wrath of the Antichrist. He's coming along thinking he's doing it, but God is allowing it to fulfill prophecy. This time is spoke of in Matthew 24, 6-9. Parallel again, Matthew 24. The restrainer is gone, the church is gone, and evil is allowed to manifest itself unchecked. You know, in this world, we have several restrainers. We have the church, the Holy Spirit indwelling the church. And when we're taken out, there's going to be an unleashing of demons like this world has never known all over this world. And we have the restrainer also, which is our laws and our police and our law enforcement. But you see what they're doing to them. I mean, the thin blue line's getting thinner and thinner, and they are the only ones that separate us from anarchy, right? And that's why we support our law enforcement. And this is why, as America becomes more and more a lawless country who does not go by laws, right, it's going to get worse and worse here. And again, this time it's spoken of Jesus in Matthew 24, 6-9. I just can't imagine of the demonic activities going to be unleashed on this world when the church is taken out. It's going to be terrible. And this rider has a sword in verse 4. Notice that. It was given to him, unlike Christ who earned his sword. This man had one given to him by the world. This sword here, this word in verse 4, look at it again. Latter part of verse 4. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, this sword refers to a short sword, a dagger, Roman soldiers would carry into battle and stab and assassinate with. And men will slay one another. I mean, there's going to be, wow. You talk about Chicago on a weekend, it won't even compare to what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Wholesale murder among the masses. The Antichrist will revert to war to preserve his authority and his power. It's going to be a terrible time, and I want to ask you tonight, if you're not certain that you're going to go to heaven when you die, I'm telling you, you don't want to go through this terrible time. Are y'all listening to me? You don't want to go through this terrible time. Please come to Christ before it's too late. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the power of your word as our musicians come tonight. Lord, you have not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And the only time we're going to obtain it is right now, and here and now, in the gospel of grace, the gospel of the church, the kingdom of the church, the period of the church. The invitation is given. The Holy Spirit says, come. The Word of God says, come. Last few verses in the book of Revelation. The church invites you to come. The Holy Spirit invites you to come. But guess what? You must come. So we ask you to come today. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son who lived a perfect life, earned to be our substitute on the cross. He died in my place and took the wages of sin for me. And I now ask him to come into my heart, repenting of my sins and believing in the work of Christ on the cross. He's the only way to heaven. We invite you to come tonight. Father, do your work. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.